Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Scott Girard, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Friday, everybody. Weekend is here. Take the rest of the day off. Don't go to work or leave work. Just, you know, make up an excuse. You're sick. You got a cell stall.
Baby.
Get out. Listen to us. Go grab a lunch. You know, when you got a wife and you got like four kids and you're a stereotypical Utah family and you go to a restaurant and you're out $120, $130 bucks just going in, even everybody, you make everybody have water, you know, you try to keep every, your, tell your 15-year-old to order off the kids' menu, but it doesn't matter, it's still over three digits. You know what, just go to a restaurant by yourself, and you're like, wow, I'm in and out of here for 20, so 22 nice. Bucks.
Hey, judging by Wednesday, we know you took off early. You went to the Delta Center.
Yeah.
We know you did.
We know you have the capability of
doing
it.
We know you can do it, do it again.
About 45,000 sports fans that showed up there for a free hot dog.
Yeah. I had a buddy of mine who he's my assistant coach on the on our flag football team, and he said that he took a group of young men to that event, and he goes, "We got there 30 minutes before it was supposed to start, still locked out, still
didn't make it in,
didn't make it in.
30 minutes in
30
line
minutes
before.
Yep. Jeez. All right, NHL is taking grip here in Salt Lake City, and with the Jazz not being particularly good over the last few years." NHL might take a serious grip if they're good right out of the gate. But here to talk a little NBA playoffs, Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, you may not know this. We're a hockey town now.
I do know that. I've heard. I'm going to try to bring some NBA excitement back to you because, like, I think I've got some draft news. I heard that they had planned to draft Penick, but then now he's off the board.
Yeah. The Jazz at, 8-9 overall, you take Penick and there you go.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a good athlete, so.
I still can't believe that. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. All right. It was a weird kind of concession-like speech from LeBron James last night in the postgame. Like, it's just basketball. I mean, if that's the attitude we're getting from LeBron, I know you want to hang out and play with Bronny, but it might be time to shut it down.
I was in the room for that. I think it was, there was, weirdly, I would have thought game two did this when Jamal Murray hit that in that series, hit that dramatic game-winning shot after coming back from 20 down. But the Lakers went into last night with a genuine belief, like, hey, man, it's the same thing they did last year. We're close, right? We keep hanging with these guys. The games are close. We got a chance. And last night was the first time I think it hit them, like, we're not winning this again. Like, we might be just swept out of the building again. And I think there was just a frustration and resignation across all of them, like, we're not good enough anymore. We can't do this. So I'm really curious what they're going to – LeBron is going to stay with the Lakers. He's going to use his leverage, but they're not going to look like – I mean, Anthony Davis will be back, and everything else is on the table.
So let's just talk about that series in particular, because I know that Coach Ham is getting thrown under the bus. And I saw the video surface of him trying to drop a play. And LeBron is not paying attention, and he doesn't even know what he's drawing up on the board. You could see it. Is he really responsible for some of what's happening in this 3-0 deficit right now? And I'm curious if how much he's responsible for and if he really is going to be back next year, like the rumors are saying.
I would be it's funny. I saw the report that he's expected to be back. I'll say I've heard it's, especially if they're swept out or even if they win Sunday and it's a gentleman's sweep in five, I've heard it's less likely that he's back. Management likes him. They just feel like they can work with him, but it's obviously not working on the court. Like you said, the players I've heard are weary of, and you have to really sit through a lot of press conferences with Darvin Ham to realize he's really just, there's a lot of, we just got to play harder type of stuff. And I don't want to say he doesn't do X's and O's. So I think that he's stuck with lineups that haven't worked. He has made some rotation decisions that we'll call challenging. He loves Torian Prince, even when Torian Prince isn't doing well. And all that said, that's not a winning hand he's been dealt. Like the real problems with this roster start with Rob Pelinka and the front office, and I don't think he's maximizing them. But I don't, you know, if you put Eric Spoelstra on this bench instead, but they still lose in six, dude. There's only so much you're gonna do.
That's my exact point. Is it's like you're going up against what it almost feels like a juggernaut that is going to run through pretty much anybody, and whether it was Coach Ham or Coach Spoelstra, it just feels like it's going to be the same outcome. But yeah. That's why, am I way off? Is there a coach that could be in that locker room with Anthony Davis and LeBron James actually producing wins against Denver?
Again, I think if you brought in another coach that maximized their roster, they might win a game or two. But like, it's not going to get over the hump of what is such a just beautifully well-oiled machine. And I think it was LeBron who said this last night in kind of praising them, that they're starting five. There's not an overlap of skills, right? Like everybody has a role and plays their role, but they're not fighting for, you know, it's not, to use an easy, the one that example that pops into my head, it's not Atlanta where DeJounte Murray and Trae Young are battling for point guard touches and who's going to kind of run the offense because they can't play off of each other very well. Everybody in Denver knows the roles, accepts the roles, plays off of it perfectly. And ultimately, I think that that's what teams are now looking at and trying to build more, just because under the new CBA, you don't want to try to be Phoenix. Like, hey, let's just go get three stars. This will be good enough. I mean, they're not meshing, but I don't think that's good enough. You need depth. You need role players and guys who can kind of step in, and nobody's kind of handled that as well as Utah. I mean, Utah.
Hey, we wish.
You guys hope Utah will. Yeah. As well as Denver has. And I'm not sure. Like, I just don't know how the Lakers fix it, because the buzz is now that what they're going to – they know they've got to get more shot creation to take some of the load off LeBron, but they're going to go get a third – basically a star or a high-level player somewhere, and that's going to sap their depth even more.
So let's go back to Denver a little bit on that, because they've developed that culture. And you got Murray, who hits the game winner the other night, but at the end of the day, he's always playing second fiddle to Jokic. And you've got Aaron Gordon, who I'm sure would love to be more of a scorer than he is, but has really settled in on that defensive and hustle guy that is the antagonist. Everybody's embraced their role, as you've mentioned, and that's pretty rare in the NBA where egos run supreme. Do you give credit to Michael Malone? Do you give credit to the front office and being able to identify that in those guys? Or who gets credit for those guys being who they are?
Both, although I don't you think, and I think that, you know, Hans, I'd be curious your thoughts on this, because I don't want to say coaches don't affect the chemistry and leadership of a team, but I think that tends to be more locker room leader driven, star driven. You know, the Tim Duncan Spurs are the Duncan Spurs because of Duncan. The Steph Curry Warriors accepting their roles and playing the way they did was because of Steph Curry. And I think part of this is just, and is Nikola Jokic and the way he kind of leads and plays. And there was I posted the quote at NBC Sports at the, my takeaways from last night, kind of was second or third one down. There's a great, you know, somebody asks Aaron Gordon about kind of just that, like, how did you guys mesh? Because Aaron Gordon was a scoring machine in Orlando. And why? And he just sounded mature, and he was like, this is fun basketball because we don't really have plays. They have a structure. They have systems. They have sets they want to get to, but it's not a drawn out play. They're playing, they're read and reacting, playing off each other. And after multiple years together, they have a real chemistry where we're like, well, they just know. They just, well, this guy goes here, this defender cuts, then we're going to do this. And we've seen it all before, and we know how to respond to it. And we don't have to have a detailed play drawn up. We can freelance most of this, and that just makes them so much harder to defend because they're not following a predictable script.
So, Kurt, give me the background and the situation that we just watched with Joel Embiid last night. I mean, scoring great and big win for the 76ers, but the antics were really bizarre. Yeah. Can you kind of help us understand what Joel Embiid is going through?
I think that's him, for lack of a better word, fighting, for pushing his team, like feeling like he's got to do everything because he's got to be dominant. He's got to be dominant if they're going to not only get out of this series but advance like they think they can. You know, the winner of this series will get either the Pacers or the kind of shorthanded, banged-up Bucks in the next round, and both of those teams Knicks and Sixers think they could advance to the conference finals. So I think there was some of that pressure, but I don't know about you guys. Like I tweeted this out. I don't know how he doesn't get tossed for grabbing Mitchell Robinson's legs like that when he could up in the air. And I think they legislated the outcome. You know, he didn't really get hurt. It was a relatively soft fall. You know, maybe it was the Charles Barkley fall. He practiced it. But they didn't legislate the act to me. They legislated the outcome. And I'm not sure that's what that should have been. I thought he should have been gone. As much as that, by the way, would have absolutely changed the game in the series.
Yeah.
I don't know how you allow that.
Yeah. Kurt Heedlund joining us, NBC Sports, ProBasketballTalk.com, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Who gets picked number one overall coming up in June?
Sar was on top, and a lot of teams – honestly, it's going to depend on the lottery because there's not a consensus number one, and I don't mean like a Wembanyama generational talent. I mean, even in the years that there's not that kind of guy at the top, there, even you know with the NFL, there tends to be a consensus around, right? Like the top pick or two, you kind of like rarely is it a surprise. This year, I think it's genuinely going to depend on who gets this pick because people have different things. It's Sar or I'm going to the 6'8 wing out of France whose name I would butcher if I tried to pronounce it, and I'm not looking at it, so I'm not even going to try off the top of my head. I was just writing about him the other day coming out where he's got it's interesting. This guy's got 6'8 swing defender, can guard one, is guarding 1 through 4 in the highest level of France ball, shoots really well, cuts really well off the ball. He's going to go number one. He doesn't really create his own shot as a wing. He's kind of a guy who's going to ultimately be, to use a Denver analogy, he's going to be more different, slightly different game, but more Aaron Gordon, where everybody else is doing the creating and I'm capitalizing on it rather than me having to kind of create my own shot most nights. That's not normally the guy who goes number one, but that's kind of where this draft is.
Is that Zachary Rizaker?
I knew it was Zach or Zachary, and I'm like, yes, that's the name. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff. I've heard quite a bit about him, but I don't know enough about him. Give me your thoughts on him again, because I'm just curious because I've seen. It was just the other day I saw some of him, and I was like, I got to look more into this guy.
Yeah, he's I think ESPN has him going number one now, and I think a guy I trust, Sam Vecenie at The Athletic, does as well. But he's a 6'8". I mean, he's got the size of a wing. He's got NBA athleticism. He shoots the ball from three really well, cuts really well, really long, switchable defender. The knock is that he's not a great shot creator for himself and others. He is somebody, let's say Detroit lands the number one pick. He makes a lot of sense playing next to Cade Cunningham, who's going to have the ball in his hands and create for others, or Charlotte gets it and it's LaMelo Ball, assuming he stays healthy. But like something like that where he's playing off the guy with the ball, it makes a lot more sense than putting him somewhere where, like, hey, we're going to give this guy the ball and let him completely go nuts and create for himself, because that's just – I don't think that's who he is. And my point is, like, that's very rare for that guy to go number one.
Yeah.
The guy who goes number one has to – being able to create your own shot or create shots for yourself and others – is still the most valued skill in the NBA.
But what's weird, and Scotty, here we go again. It's like the top two names that we're talking about, that I think they're both out of France.
Yeah.
Alex
Sarr is out of France, and Bakayar, I believe, is out of France.
Yeah, Sarr was French, but he played this year in he did what a few Americans have done. He went and played in the Australian that Stars program they have. So he went to Australia and played down there. I believe for Perth off the top of my head. I'm not looking at my notes, but yeah.
So, European players, man.
I want to circle back to the East a little bit. The Magic get a Game 3 victory. The 76ers get a Game 3 victory. Is that a sign that those series are going to be close, or is that just the delaying the inevitable that the Knicks and Cavs are moving on?
I think the 76ers-Knicks series has been close the whole way. That's been a really tight series. So we'll see what happens. They've got till Sunday, which is good for Embiid. They've got the extra day off in there. I think, that one feels like it's going to go 6 or 7. The games are really close. I'm not sure what to make of what happened in Orlando last night, because they looked so bad for so many games. And then I was – they blew them out, and I'm looking at the numbers when I'm texting somebody I knew, and they're like, everybody thinks, was it just a one-off shot creation where they absolutely killed from the mid-range last night, and they knocked down a lot of threes, and they shot really well, and that's not who Orlando is. Like, they're not that good a shooting team, and last night they couldn't miss. So that one feels more like a one-off situation where you're like, okay, well, that happened. But I don't think they can replicate it multiple times. Sort of like that Heat game the other night, although I take that with a grain of salt with Miami, but like they were so hot shooting. You're like, well, they're not going to do that again. Right. Like they're not going to make that many threes in a row and knock it down. And I don't think Orlando can replicate that, but they're back in the series at least.
Well, I know that the Freak is out for tonight. I'm wondering what is Jimmy Butler's timeline with Miami? Just talking about Miami and what they did, and they did it without Butler, which was incredible. But what are you hearing with him?
Probably the next series. I mean, if they'd have to get through this one, but it's an MCL sprain, and that's 2 week minimum. Obviously sprains are kind of on a curve and depends, but I was told at least two, probably closer to 3 weeks, which really puts him in the second round before he's back. So they're going to have to find more of these type of games with a red hot Tyler Hero. And Bam's going to be great every game, because Bam is great every game. But it's, they just don't have the same shot creation without Jimmy out there, and they got it for a night.
So I was just talking about sweeps. I've been wondering if the Suns are going to find a way to manufacture a win. And I was going through the first two games of that series, and they have not let Kevin Durant outside of 95 points. They have not let him break into the hundreds. Minnesota's clamped down defensively. Does Phoenix find a way to creep out of this and maybe get a win and make this interesting for even 5 seconds?
I think they're capable, obviously, because there's just so much, again, another team with just so much scoring talent on the roster. But I don't think they can sustain it. And this is where you're really seeing how much the length and athleticism and defense of Minnesota matters, right? Like, Jaden McDaniels has been – I mean, yeah, he scored 25 points last game. He has been brilliant defensively and has the length to bother KD as much as anybody can bother Kevin Durant. But they've got, they've just got good defenders across the board, and Rudy Gobert in the paint. So it's just Anthony Edwards is a really good defender, and he's young and athletic, and it's becoming hard. Beal's not getting the points he wants. Booker's not getting the looks he wants. and they don't. And now they're without Grayson Allen with his sprained ankle, so they're just minus another shooter. I just don't think they have enough. They could get hot for a game, but I don't think they can sustain it. And I will tell you guys, Minnesota's a tough matchup for Denver, probably the toughest matchup in the West, because they have the size to match up with a really big Denver team across the front line and good defenders across the board. Like that, that series is going to be tough. That's not a cakewalk for Denver.
Before we let you go, you mentioned Grayson Allen. Do you think he's worthy of that contract he got?
I don't think that was unreasonable in this NBA for just what he shoots. You know, like outside of the obvious, you know, national love for Grayson Allen and his game. him and all the Dukies, really. Outside of the kind of just annoyance factor of Grayson Allen, like he's actually a good role player. And he actually, this was this season where he defended better and kind of really fit in. He played really well this season.
Yeah. Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the games. And we'll do it again next week.
All right. I'll talk to you hockey fans later.
Yeah. Thanks, Kurt.
Take off, eh? 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Don't ruin our show, eh?
My brother's drunk, eh?
Hey, sit there and roar, hoser.
By the way, always great talking to Kurt. Great insight, great analysis. Kurt Hedlund, NBC Sports, ProBasketballTalk.com. All right, joining us now, he is the man, the myth, the legend. It's Tom from the warehouse. Tom, let's give away. Let's look, he set the bar pretty high on the last call in. What do we got now?
Gosh, I got in so much trouble for calling myself delusional and this the delusional cell. That I'm going to change this cell up, and I've taken a new approach on life since COVID affected my life and our store so greatly. And I'm going to call this Tom Loves You cell because we really do love our listeners. We do love our customers. We love Utah in general. We love University of Utah. We love Utah State. We love BYU. Anything Utah, we love. So I am going to share my love today with some appreciation deals that you cannot beat. I talked to Vidal, and I have two stacks of name brand, the finest brands of mattresses, and I'm going to say them. I've got Sealy Posturepedics. I've got Stearns and Fosters. I have Simmons. I have Simmons Blacks. I even have some Kings down in this stack. These are models that were on our floor as demos. We have cleaned them. We have sanitized them. We have rebagged them. Some of these values, if you went down the street to the big boys, and you know who I mean, they are $3,500 mattresses, as much as $5,000. I'm going to do your choice. Hans, I don't want you to fall over.
I'm sitting.
$599. Woo. That's a king. That's not a twin. That's a king for the best brands. I want to do a split California king deal. I busted out the once in a lifetime king deal. I have six split California kings with head up, foot up, adjustable base, and I'm going to do it for $999. Do not miss this, guys. This is about a $3,900 setup. The Costco, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that name. Sam's Club, I'm not supposed to say that name. If you order on their website, it's $3,200 at one of them and $2,700 at the other warehouse club. I'm doing it for $999.
Incredible
that
deals.
That is crazy.
That is. All you have to do is stop by the warehouse. Again, we love these dudes. We love what you've been building there, Tom. You're saving people tons of money. Get down to the warehouse. 1825 South, 300 West. That's 1825 South, 300 West. Get there now. Tom and the crew ready to hook you up right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
That's why Bill Armstrong got emotional, right? It was because he goes, these kids behind me. It wasn't because of his own personal, like, I get to come to a city where there's a lot of people now.
He's had to work for that piece of crap owner down in Arizona and had to put up with all this BS. Yeah. He's free. It's got to feel so refreshing for him to be able to breathe.
Absolutely.
And not have to put up with that crap and have to trade guys and get rid of great prospects because they won't pay him. Now he's got an owner that gives a crap. Now he's got an owner that's going to say, you know what? Does this make us better? Does this help us win? Let's go do it. Let's do it. Yeah, let's fix this. Let's make this happen.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It is your good, it is your bad, it is your ugly. It's all brought to you by RGS Exteriors and Construction, obsessed with quality results. We were out there yesterday, Tim and the crew ready to help you out with whatever you may need. Well, yesterday we talked about Stephen Ashworth hosting Dallin Hall on a recruiting trip out to Creighton. Richie Saunders was flirting with Kentucky. He had a bunch of Cougars that were in the transfer portal ready to leave BYU. Kevin Young gets the job, and guess what? Sometimes your best recruits are the guys that are already on your team. As Dallin Hall announced today, he's coming back. Richie Saunders announced last night he's coming back. So huge gets for BYU.
Well, Richie Saunders had sent out a photo of, I believe it was him and his wife with Mark Pope and his wife on their visit and their courtship in Kentucky. And I've got to imagine Coach Pope is sitting there thinking, dang, man, I thought I'd get a couple of these guys.
Yeah.
And it's really good to see Richie Saunders back. Richie Saunders posted career highs in field goal percentage of 52% and 36.4% from three, and also increased on his free throw percentages. But averaged 10 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist coming off the bench. You needed him.
Yeah.
And more than him, you needed Dallin Hall. Richie Saunders announced first, and Dallin Hall shortly followed. But Dallin Hall is everything you need from a guy that sets the offense, that sets the tone, sets the energy. And now you got a guy that's got a couple years of starting experience under his belt, and he's going to come back and be your leader. So this gives you some hope. It gives you some hope that they're going to be able to compete in the most difficult league in all of college basketball.
Well, and it just sets the tone that if you have a coach that comes in and can just stabilize things. Now, granted, NIL certainly has a lot to do with it. I don't know if BYU stepped up in a big way, I'm assuming, or if maybe the market wasn't as hot as Dallin Hall thought it would be in terms of money. I'm sure every team wanted him to come, but it was like, Dallin Hall may have said a number that, like, that's a little rich for our blood. I don't know. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, that BYU's collective efforts went up and maybe the market wasn't as hot as Dallin Hall may have thought it was going to be. But at the end of the day, the guy does return to Provo, and that's a massive get. And so when you have a coach that comes in, and it's a free-for-all right now in the transfer portal, kids can go wherever they want, whenever they want, and it's like, nope, I want to play for that coach. And they stabilize things and everything, like, just everybody takes a big, deep breath, kind of like what's going on at Utah State. Now, they'll lose Great Osabor. They can't afford him. He's going to get stupid money in the portal. But other than that, they've kept everybody. Mason Falslev is in the portal, comes back. Ian Martinez is in the portal. He comes back. When you have a coaching staff that come in and say, hey, I got
calm
you.
Calm it down.
We're going to be okay. We're going to win games. And the players buy in, that's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Well, I think with the announcement of Saunders and Hall coming back and the excitement of this new head coach that they were able to get out of the NBA, I think that BYU basketball excitement level is probably as high, if not higher, than Jimmer Fredette's return in final year. Because there was a lot of excitement around that team and hope.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of... It's just intriguing storylines to see if Kevin Young is that guy at the college head coaching level.
When Mark Pope got the job, there were a lot of people that were like, yeah, you know, we like him. He could be good. We're not quite sure. And there were some things behind the scenes. Like, let's be honest. We talked to a lot of people that were close to BYU basketball that let us know that Mark Pope was using that job for higher things. Like, we all knew that was a stepping stone for him. And I think most people knew that BYU was not an end destination for Mark Pope if it was up to Mark Pope. Kevin Young, I don't know what the ambitions are for Kevin Young, but I will say the vibe around the people that I talk to close to the program and people that know Kevin Young in the NBA circles give a much different impression, a first impression of him than I got with people talking about Mark Pope. And that's not knocking Mark Pope, because I think Mark Pope exceeded the expectations that a lot of people set for him at BYU. I thought he did a tremendous job and he deserves all the credit in the world for doing what he did at BYU. But there is a different initial vibe to Kevin Young than what we got from Mark Pope.
Yeah, what his modus operandi would be.
Yeah.
What his goal and his destination and his future looks like. I get the exact same feel from those conversations. And to see that he's able to land Saunders and Hall, when Hall was out there with Duke and Oklahoma and Creighton and Clemson and...
Creighton, you know, Creighton's always a really decent seed in the tournament, and they always do really well, but you don't put Creighton at the same level of Duke and some of these other blue blood programs. But Creighton, they don't have a football program. They have stupid NIL money.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous NIL money. They play in an 18,000-seat arena. That community is nuts for that program. And that is a hard program to turn down. And yet, there he is coming back to BYU. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So we reported on this. Nikola Jokic's brother got in a fight at game two there in Denver and was on film punching a guy square in the face. Well, just to catch everybody up on the investigation, they have found the individual that Nikola Jokic's brother punched. Apparently, they're in conversations with him. What I think is really interesting, two things, Scotty. Number one, this guy didn't get punched and instantly go to cops. He got punched, left the arena, and was like, "Ah, hell with it."
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, does he have any intention of pressing charges? And it also makes me wonder how much fault he had in this whole thing.
Like
what he said and what he's worried somebody's going to say, "Oh no, we actually heard him say that to the Jokic brothers and it was verbal." Now I understand verbal and then physical is a different level, but I think there's a reason that he hasn't addressed law enforcement and said, "Hey, I'm the guy that he punched. I want millions."
Yeah.
Because that's the chance.
That's usually what happens in these situations.
And then
I've got headaches and mental anguish.
And then the most interesting part about this, not so much as a squeaky fart out of Denver in regards to his suspension or inability to enter that arena. They aren't coming back for this series, but when they come back for the second round, about the brothers being in that arena.
Yeah.
And if that's just fans punching each other, they're certainly done for the season. They're not coming back for the season. But I don't think Denver's going to do a damn thing. I don't think you're going to hear a statement.
Not a word. Not a word. Nope. You don't want to tick off Jokic. You don't want to tick off the brothers. You don't want to tick off your fan base.
So guess what that does? It puts all the power in the Jokic brothers' hands.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, "Hey, when you're in this building... feel free to knock people's teeth out.
This is our building.
Feel free to bust somebody's lip if they get rowdy. We won't do anything about it."
Yeah. Not a darn thing.
It does make me wonder if we see the Jazz get to the postseason at some point and Lauri Markkanen, if he does have older brothers, knock somebody out, to see how the Smith Entertainment Group handles it.
Yeah.
Because now we've got a standard. I guess if they're European and they're tough, you just let them punch people out.
And they're the brothers of your superstar.
Look,
Talen Horton Tucker's brother does that. Might be a problem.
Well, then you can set a stamp. Yeah. You can set the precedent on him.
Larry Markkinen's brother does that. You're like, hey, can you tell him not to do that again?
It's the language barrier.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Language all right, barrier. All right. Well, I guess you're right.
They don't understand.
You know how it is in Europe. We talk with our fists, not our words. Okay. All right. Hans and Scotty. Tom's hanging out with us from the warehouse. Tom, all kinds of great savings. You don't leave any stone unturned when it comes to making sure that our listeners are taken care of. What do you got for us?
Well, we're doing the We Love You sale. And to add to that love, Hans, if you were in this store today with me, I would make you stand up and walk over in that front showroom to a beautiful dining table, solid wood, made by Hollandhouse. It has a 24-inch leaf. It has two drawers at each end. If you want to keep placemats, napkins, or silverware in these drawers, it's a table that's a $1,299 table. This is We Love You to the Extreme. $99, and I have 30 of them.
Wait a minute. $99, that's all you're charging.
$99. It's insane, and I'm not kidding. It's a beautiful solid wood table. If you need chairs to go with it, if you want to do a new kitchen or dining room, I've got two chairs to choose from. Your choice, $70, $69 a chair. You can get an incredible 8-chair dining room set that's 84 inches long when the leaf is in. And you can get the whole thing for $450.
Wow.
That's insane. That is We Love You to the Extreme.
Yeah, you're not messing around with that one, Tom.
Probably not messing around. We love you with that one.
Yeah, you can tell. Hey, go to the warehouse right now. You heard that $99, $79 special going on. It's not going to last long, so you got to get it, and you got to get it now. Tom mentioned he's got a few of them, but they're going to go quick. So, again, those booms are yours for the taking. Go to the warehouse right now, 1825 South 300 West. That's 1825 South 300 West. It's the warehouse in Salt Lake. Tom and the crew ready to go right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Lake is the newest home of the National Hockey League.
We want our NHL team. This is a hot spot in America.
And when the announcement was made,
this thing's going to be successful.
The Zone had it covered from every angle.
Two of the big four.
From the draft, free agency, and all the way until the puck hits the ice in the fall.
It can't come soon enough. Let's go.
Your home for the best coverage of the NHL in Utah.
Utah is now the home of NHL hockey.
Talk about it right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Scotty, 97.5, DKSL Sports Zone. Time for another edition of Whole World News, Hans.
All right, so I want to know how this would go for you, Scotty.
All right.
This woman, her name's Emily King. She lives in San Jose, California. She's 30 years old. She's a teacher. And she was throwing a birthday party. It was the first, it's 1 year old. So 1 year old birthday party. And had downloaded this invite app. Yeah. So you download the app. And then that app will send these kind of cool invites out to whoever you take from your contacts and put it in the app. This woman didn't realize it, but at the very start, it says download contacts. So she downloaded contacts. It took all 487 contacts. It put them in the inviter. She pressed send. and it sent an invite to every one of the 487 that were on her phone.
So her boss
got the invite. You know, a bunch of coworkers got the invite. Now, here's the problem, and I want to know how this would affect you. It sends the invite and uses the name that is labeled in the phone.
Oh, no.
So she had Derek Irol, who was one of her employees.
Oh, no.
Or one of her coworkers.
Yeah.
Even this person that had hit her car, she had it labeled as Jess hit her car in parking lot. And so what it does is it fires an invite, but it says, hey, Derek Irol, you're invited. Not only are you inviting him to a party that you know, they're like, why the hell would Emily invite me to this party? It invites. Would there be any awkward?
Yeah, that'd be tough. I don't know. There's only a couple that I did that to. You know, there was like back in the day, and I feel bad about it, but like when we would have techs that would run remotes and stuff like that, I would just label them tech 1, tech 2, tech 3, tech 4.
No wonder you thanked a guy.
Oh, no, that's not important. We don't need to go down there. I don't do that anymore.
And you said, nice to meet you, and he'd been working with us for 3 years.
That was a long time ago. I don't do that
anymore.
Do
you remember that, Lloyd?
Yeah, I do.
It's nice to meet you. And Parker goes, hey, dude. Been here for
I do
years.
Like all of your remotes. And then there's another guy that works in the radio business, not with us, but at a different place. And he calls all the time, and every time he calls, he's just asking for favors.
Oh.
And so I put his name, the name, and then don't answer.
So it's don't answer Hatch, or is it?
Stop it. No, we said at a different radio station.
Oh. You say don't answer Jay Catch?
No, Ryan Hatch.
Oh no, Ryan does. Everybody's asking for Ryan for favors.
I know that poor guy. What did he just got something? What did he just get? Like he was put in as the.
Well, he's the he runs the Phoenix cluster for Bonneville now, and they won the sports station down there won the what's the award? The service award that everybody gets all fired up about. But anyway. But yeah, for community service, first ever sports radio station to ever win that award, which is honestly a really crazy accomplishment.
I thought he was named as like a part of a selection committee.
Oh, yeah. No, and he's also like the Fiesta Bowl Gold Jacket committee. I don't know. But yeah, the Crystal Award. Yeah. And by the way, congratulations to those guys. That phenomenal accomplishment for them. I don't want to sound like I'm diminishing what they did. But yeah, Ryan Hatch, man, he used to just be a slum like us in radio here in Salt Lake, and now he's like a bigwig down in Phoenix running that market down there.
So, Lloyd, if you accidentally sent invites to every one of your contacts invited without labeled,
what would it say about us? You got bad things about us in your phone?
No, I don't have anything bad about
After
you guys.
Today, you might. You've been salty today with us.
I might. Yeah, but I'm salty.
I could totally
right
see like it coming out like, Hans, you are.
You know what? I'm not like that in my contacts. I don't put any don't answers because if it's just somebody, I just don't answer.
No,
I
can see it being disparaging. Like, hey, Baby Teeth Hans, you're invited to my kid's first birthday party or something. Hey, Crooked Grill Hans.
Hey, won't shut up about the Peloton, Gerard.
Yeah.
Come to the party.
Okay, that's a good one right there because if you remind me about that stupid Peloton you have, again, I'm going to
I don't remind you about
mind.
Anything.
You just tell me about your Peloton every day.
I don't tell
I
you.
Get an update.
No, I'm sitting there.
Hey,
all
my watch does this thing with my Peloton.
And by the way,
it's awesome.
Tim and I were talking about that, and you just overheard it, and you just naturally assume I'm talking to you about it. It's not my fault you're eavesdropping into my private conversations and then making it about you.
Oh, I'm sorry you had a headset on. What? Oh, I'm sorry you were talking into the mic. My bad.
Well, yeah, it wasn't intended for you. Did I say, hey, Lloyd, Tim and I are talking
about
our Pelotons?
How about you take off your headset and you talk about your stupid Peloton?
Because then you yell at me.
I get it. You live in Bountiful.
I told you there's better help at the break and you're not paying attention. Blah, 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 blah.
I get it. You live closer to the Lord than anybody else. I understand.
Don't deflect.
What?
You're just
so high on the mountain?
Yeah, he's just being a dink.
Or close to the temple.
Both. Hey, you know what? Aren't we late for Tom here?
Tom's ready.
Okay.
Tom's
you're arguing. I'd like to go to Tom now. All right. Tom joins us from the warehouse. Tom, how you doing?
Oh, man, I've got the name. It's Beauty and the Beast. Hans is the beauty. Lloyd is the beast. And my friend Scotty, you are Gaston.
Okay, I'll take it.
You pretty much nailed that one, Tom.
Yeah. What's our...
Yeah, I worked hard on that, as you can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is a bully.
I say we do a Beauty and the Beast deal.
Let's do it. Beauty and the Beast is the ultimate love story. We're doing love deals today. What is the ultimate love deal? Well, quickly, my aunt, when I was in high school, was getting rid of a car, and she called me up and said, Tommy, I know you're needing a car. We're going to get rid of our car. We would like to sell it to you. What can you pay? And I said, gosh, I have a couple $100. And she said, okay, we'll take it. I'm going to do that sale today. I am going to open it up today through Monday. Anybody who walks through the door, no reasonable offer will be refused. It's the ultimate expression of love. We're going to help you. You need a sectional, come in. And if we say no, it's because it wasn't reasonable. But we'll make you a deal that will be by far the best deal you'll ever see in Utah. By far. And I'm calling it the Monty Hall of all deals. Let's make a deal. Love Fest. You name your price, no reasonable offer will be refused. Then to make it even better, because Scotty is Gaston, the tough guy, the village enforcer who's making sure you guys are back on track and get to Tom, I'm going to give you financing. Any financing that's over $1,000 this weekend, 1 year, same as cash, if you have decent credit. If your credit is beat up, we'll get you 100 days, same as cash. All you need is a driver's license and a job. Come and see us. You name the price, no reasonable offer refused, because we love you here at the warehouse.
Love it. Love it. No judgment. He'll take care of you. It's Tom from the warehouse. All kinds of great savings going on right now. 1825 South, 300 West. It's the warehouse right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.